Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 335, titled Walking the Snake, Part 2. This is being recorded on November 11th of the year 2001. This is more about the horrible events of September 11th, 2001, and the events that led up to it and are coming out of it. I've done a number of other programs on this subject, and due to the limitations of time, I won't be able to fill in all of the ancillary discussion. I want to mention at the top of the broadcast that the other programs either are already or will soon be available on Real Audio from sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey. More recent programs are streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery, one word, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. Older broadcasts, including the vast majority of the programs, are available for download only on Real Audio at a longer URL which is linked to the WFMU website. Beyond that, a tape and CD duplication service called Spitfire, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, has all of these and other programs available on either CD or tape or CD-ROM. Their website is equipped with Real Audio. Look in the For the Record section at www.spitfirelist.com. And there are annotated descriptions of the For the Record programs that are available on the Spitfire website. Not all of them are up for all of the 911 programs, but they soon will be. Again, www.spitfirelist.com. Look in the For the Record section, and if the discussion goes too quickly, and it just might, the synoptic account with rigorous sourcing is available in the descriptions on the Spitfire website, and they are up through 3:30, I believe, as I record on November 11th. Now, to the subject material at hand. In past discussion of the 911 attacks, I have attributed this event, the authorship of it, to what I call the Underground Reich or the Remarkable and Deadly Bormann Organization, literally a Third Reich gone underground. I have stated my view that at the operational level behind the Islamic extremists are, in fact, Islamo-fascists, including elements that at the operational level are tied to the Underground Reich, and at the economic level are also tied to the Underground Reich, and I cite in that regard For the Record programs 327 and 331, dealing with, among other things, the stock market manipulation in connection with the 911 attacks. In For the Record program number 333, Forward into the Past, I discussed, among other things, the NPD, the top German neo-Nazi party, and one of its primary spokespersons, Horst Mahler, who endorsed the 911 attacks just as he had in a previous incarnation as an associate of the Baader-Meinhof gang, or Red Army faction, endorsed the Olympics massacre of September 5th of 1972, whose authorship also goes to what I call Underground Reich-linked Islamic extremists. In this program, the title of which comes from the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk that I've dealt with so many times in the past, we're going to look at some apparent connections between the operational Nazi-slash-Islamo-fascist elements and, among other things, the financial elements that may very well have been involved in the stock manipulation. We're going to take a look at hypothetical connections to the Bormann Organization, and once again, returning to the operational level, we're going to take a look at links between these milieu, plural, and American so-called neo-unquote Nazis, and elements that may very well be associated with the anthrax attacks in the United States. The title of the program is derived from the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk. I've spoken about that many times in the past. This book was authored by someone who uses the pen name of Randolph D. Calverhall, C-A-L-V-E-R-H-A-L-L. It's published in softcover by National Vanguard Books, copyright 1991. National Vanguard is the publishing arm of the National Alliance. It is the same Nazi publishing house that publishes the Turner Diaries, the apparent role model for the depredations of the Nazi terror group The Order in the 1980s, and also Timothy McVeigh and company in the Oklahoma City bombing. In this book, the Third Reich goes underground at the end of World War II. They build up an enormous capital organization. That is the flight capital organization that I've spoken about and referred to as the Bormann Organization, directed by the organizational genius Martin Bormann, the real power behind the throne. of Adolf Hitler, so to speak, and someone who put together a formidable economic engine at the end of World War II. After going underground and building up their economic power, the Underground Reich buys into the American opinion-forming media, infiltrates the United States Army, and after a biological warfare attack on the United States and much of the rest of the world, which wipes out a considerable portion of the U.S. population, martial law is declared. They move in and take over the United States. That is the reference to Walk in the Snake, the title of the broadcast. It comes from the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk. Now, remember NPD, the top German Nazi party? Remember the Islamo-fascist elements I've spoken about? Hang on to your hats. Here we go. Financial Times of London, Friday, November 9th of the year 2001, has an article by Hugh Williamson and Philip Jacklin, J-A-K-L-I-N, in Berlin. Its headline, Far Right Has Ties with Islamic Extreme. It reads in part as follows. One of the people identified by the U.S. government as providing financial support to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network is also a well-known figure in the European far-right political movement. The link is likely to raise new concerns over ties between Islamic and right-wing extremists. Ahmed Huber, capital A-H-M-E-D, last name capital H-U-B-E-R, a 74-year-old Swiss businessman and former journalist who converted to Islam in the 1960s, is a board member of NADA Management, capital N-A-D-A, a financial services and consultancy company which is part of the International Al-Taqwa Group. The U.S. says this group has long acted as financial advisors to Al-Qaeda. Mr. Huber, who was based in Bern, is known in Switzerland and Germany as an Islamic fundamentalist who attempts to forge links to far-right and neo-Nazi movements. A spokesman for Germany's Office for the Protection of the Constitution, the Internal Intelligence Agency, said yesterday that Mr. Huber, quote, sees himself as a mediator between Islam and right-wing groups. He also belongs to the revisionist movement, which believes the Holocaust did not take place, the spokesman said. Klaus Beyer, spokesman for the NPD, one of Germany's main far-right political parties, said Mr. Huber has often addressed NPD events. Mr. Huber confirmed that he had contact with associates of Osama bin Laden at an Islamic conference in Beirut. He is quoted in the Swiss media as saying that these people, quote, are very discreet, well-educated, very intelligent people, unquote. In interviews on Wednesday, Mr. Huber denied that NADA management was linked to terrorism, although he admitted the company's sponsors were wealthy Muslims from Malaysia and the Gulf region. And by the way, I would note in passing that Al-Taqwa means in Arabic the wrath of God. It's based in Lugano, Switzerland, which is the operational headquarters for the investment firms run by Heinrich Thyssen-Bornemisza, a key element of the Bormann organization that we've spoken about in the past. Now, about the background of Ahmed Huber, again associated with NPD and Al-Qaeda, an article appeared on a French website. The website is www.phdn.org/negation/faurisson, F-A-U-R-I-S-S-O-N. The article, which dates from August 31st of the year 2000, is called Les Amis de Faurisson. It's about an Islamo-fascist named Ahmed Rami, R-A-M-I, who in turn is associated with Ahmed Huber. I'm going to read this in French and then translate this following passage. Depuis son arrivée en Suède, Rami est très lié à l'islamiste pro-Nazi suisse Ahmed Huber. Converti à Islam au début des années 1960, Ahmed Huber côtoie dans l'Égypte nazarienne des anciens nazis dont principalement l'ancien bras droit de Goebbels pour la propagande antisémite Johann von Liers, lui aussi converti à Islam sous le nom d'Omar Amin von Liers. Now, in English. Since his arrival in Sweden, Rami has been very closely associated with pro-Nazi Swiss Islamist Ahmed Huber. Converted to Islam at the beginning of the 1960s, Ahmed Huber was associated in Egypt, in Nasser's Egypt, with old Nazis, among them principally the right-hand man of Joseph Goebbels for anti-Semitic propaganda, Johann von Liers, himself converted to Islam under the name Omar Amin von Liers. Veteran listeners to the program will recognize in Nasser's Egypt of that period not only the Skorzeny CIA/Galen-sponsored mission to Egypt, which spawned many of these Islamo-fascist connections, including the first Palestinian terrorists, but listeners who've heard my broadcasts with the remarkable Kevin Coogan, the author of the consummately important text Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey in the Postwar Fascist International, published in softcover by Otano Media, copyright 1999, and by the way, edited by Dave Mandel, an on-air personality at WFMU that I've alluded to earlier. There's a long run-on sentence for you. We'll recognize the name Johann von Leers. Von Leers is associated with the post-war Underground Reich, or Shadow Reich, as Kevin Coogan alludes to it. And he was associated with people that we've spoken about in the past, including the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini, the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, a major in the SS, and a primary player in the Islamo-fascist connection we're speaking about, the Grand Mufti in turn associated with Swiss-based fascist François Genoux, who in turn had many links to Islamo-fascists, and from a geopolitical standpoint, one might consider al-Qaeda to be Africa Corps II, aimed at gaining control of the Middle East and its oil reserves for the Underground Reich, and also eliminating Israel, destroying or damaging beyond repair the United States and the United Kingdom. It also, and we'll take this up at greater length, could be considered Sixth Army II. The Sixth Army of Friedrich von Paulus in World War II drove on Stalingrad in order to capture Stalingrad, which was the key to the Soviet oil-producing region of the Caucasus, in connection with al-Qaeda and Wahhabism in Chechnya and Dagestan. We've discussed in the past Vladimir Putin and his accession to turning that region over to Western oil companies or access to it. That could be al-Qaeda and Wahhabism could be considered Sixth Army, too, from a geopolitical standpoint. And again, I realize this is a very tall glass to drink at one sitting. I refer listeners to the other programs on this and other related subjects, and also to the annotated descriptions on the Spitfire website. Now, of Johann von Leers, an associate of Ahmed Huber, and bear in mind this man's connections to, among others, Haj Amin al-Husseini, his connections through Paul Diekhoff to Alan Dulles, through Alan Dulles to the Wahhabis, people like Otto von Bolschwing, and complete strangers such as the family Bush. Again, I've spoken about these connections in the past. They're available in other broadcasts and in other descriptions. Turning now to Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International, briefly about Johann von Leers and his Egyptian stay. In 1955, with the Grand Mufti's friend Johann von Leers helping to run Egypt's propaganda ministry and its all-important Institute for the Study of Zionism, Genoux began to see Egypt as a base for the anti-French FLN independence movement in Algeria, bearing in mind the numerous connections of the Grand Mufti, François Genoux, Paul Diekhoff, and others to what I call the Underground Reich. Now, back to Ahmed Huber. Nada Management and Al-Taqwa, alleged financiers of al-Qaeda. This is from the Wall Street Journal of Friday, September 1st, 21st of the year 2001, an article by Yaroslav Trofimov, headlined, Bin Laden Trail Extends to Swiss Outfit. Skipping down, we read about al-Taqwa. The company, this is, by the way, about Nada Management, the company, until recently known as al-Taqwa, has been reorganized, and its Lugano, Switzerland operation is now called Nada Management Organization. Youssef Nada, capital N-A-D-A, the former al-Taqwa's chief executive, is a well-known businessman who at least until recently was on the board of the Pio Manzu Center, an Italian-based United Nations geopolitical think tank that counts Henry Kissinger and Mikhail Gorbachev among those on its scientific committee. One should not necessarily make too much of this particular connection, but bear in mind that Youssef Nada, the former chief executive of al-Taqwa, is also associated professionally with Henry Kissinger and Mikhail Gorbachev, and bear in mind that on the board of directors of al-Taqwa is the aforementioned Ahmed Huber, or Alfred Huber, as he calls himself, or used to call himself. more about Ahmed Huber and Al-Taqwa. Now, this is in connection with the interesting stock market manipulation in the run-up to September 11th. This is discussed at considerable length in For the Record 327. The subject is brought up again in For the Record 331, and we're taking it up again right now. The following article is from the Washington Post of September 18th of the year 2001. This is by William Drozdiak, D-R-O-Z-D-I-A-K. It's headlined, Stock Trades Probed for Tie to Bin Laden. Investigation focuses on sales of shares of airlines and insurers before attacks. Skipping down, now listen to this about Al-Taqwa. It's being investigated by Swiss authorities in connection with the stock market manipulation running up to September 11th. Skipping down, Swiss prosecutors are focusing their attention on an investment bank in Lugano called Al-Taqwa, which means fear of God in Arabic. Swiss police suspect it may have handled important transactions for bin Laden in the past, but they have not been able to find conclusive proof of links to terrorist plots. In interviews with Swiss newspapers, Ahmed Huber, a member of Al-Taqwa's board of directors, acknowledged dealings with bin Laden's associates but rejected any involvement in terrorist activities, saying the bank's main role is to help finance educational and agricultural projects in the Third World. I would add, yeah, right, says Dave Emery. That's why it's called Fear of God, I'm sure. When fear of God speaks, people listen. That, of course, a takeoff on a well-known American investment company. That's a bit of humor. Now, about some of the firms whose assets were being speculated in, allegedly, according to Swiss authorities, at least they're investigating Al-Taqwa or NADA Management's involvement in this. By the way, NADA Management is spelled capital N-A-D-A, not to be confused with the recent Arab-American presidential candidate, Ralph NADA. Again, a bit of humor. Now, about NADA Management. One of the companies speculated in was the Munich Reinsurance Company, also Swiss Reinsurance. And this, again, from the 9/18/2001 Washington Post story. Much of the stock market inquiry focuses on Munich Re, a German insurance company that may have to pay out $900 million in claims due to the destruction of the World Trade Center. The company's stock fell 12% in the 4 days before September 11th and 15% on the day of the strike. Munich Reinsurance, as we discussed in For the Record Program 319, is strongly connected to the Bormann Organization. Now, in addition to Munich Reinsurance, Swiss Reinsurance stock also was, according to some investigators, suspiciously manipulated, although others disagree with the analysis. Skipping down, Munich Re executives say their company's own study of stock movements in the days before the attack showed no unusual amount of short selling. European regulators have been consulting with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States about their investigations, which include stock movements of the French insurer AXA and Switzerland's Swiss Re. Ettore Candolfi, a board member of the Swiss Stock Exchange, said a preliminary review showed several large block trades in Swiss Re of up to 16,000 shares in the 4 days before the attacks. Now, bear in mind Munich Reinsurance and Swiss Reinsurance, another company that faces claims, also allegedly, and some analysts disagree with this, also faced short selling in the run-up to September 11th. This reminiscent of the short selling and the stock market manipulation that was the run-up to the in the run-up to the assassination of President Kennedy, and the executive authority in that manipulation appears to have been the Bormann Organization, as we looked at in For the Record 327. We're going to reprise a short section of an article that we looked at in the aforementioned For the Record 327. This is from the San Jose Mercury News of Monday, September 17th of 2001. New York Times story by Edmund L. Andrews and Floyd Norris. Possibly suspicious trading alerts U.S. and German officials. Skipping down. Swiss Re, which we've spoken about parenthetically, Munich Re, which we've spoken about parenthetically, and Allianz were among the big insurance companies to decline before the attack. Carsten Zielke, an insurance analyst at West LB Panmure in Dusseldorf, Germany, said, quote, If you have terrorists who wanted to take advantage of the market and knew in advance when this damage was going to take place, this is what they would have done. It's interesting that the insurance companies and the airlines involved in these attacks both saw short selling prior to the attacks. In For the Record program number 331, I asked the rhetorical question about who owned, or not the rhetorical question, but I asked listeners' help in finding out who owned the World Trade Center and who therefore would be collecting the insurance. It was not Deutsche Bank, but it may very well have been someone fronting for the Bormann Group. We're going to look at the New York Times of Tuesday, October 23rd of the year 2001. And I want to add that this is a speculative element. And by the way, I should the use of texts in this context should not be misunderstood as endorsing anyone else's underwriting of my working hypothesis in the September 11th attacks. The analysis is my own. This should not be misunderstood as constituting an endorsement by any other writers for my analysis. This article is about the owner of the world, or at least the leaser of the World Trade Center. It's owned by the Port Authority of New York, by the way. This is called Insurer Sues to Limit Its Payout for World Trade Center. It's by Stephen Labatten, and skipping down about Larry Silverstein, whose companies had just leased the World Trade Center weeks before the attack. The dispute involves Mr. Silverstein, who took over management of the World Trade Center just weeks before the attack. His lenders, who have committed many billions of dollars more than Mr. Silverstein and now have an investment collateralized by a set of buildings lying in rubble, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the owners of the land that issued the lease, now suffering a disruption of income from the notes it holds from Mr. Silverstein, and Swiss Re, the reinsurance company providing more than a fifth of the overall insurance coverage for the Trade Center. Complicating the picture is the fact that there was no insurance policy yet issued on the properties when they were destroyed. I would add that the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey may very well be damaged by this, even beyond the economic damage that would hurt, quote, the capital of the Jews, unquote, as the Nazis put it. And note that there was no insurance policy formally written, and note that Larry A. Silverstein is the leaser here. The fact that Mr. Silverstein would appear to be of Jewish extraction is not necessarily indicative that the Bormann Group was not behind the lease. In fact, the Bormann Group not only includes Jewish businessmen in their American ventures, but do so worldwide. It also makes an excellent cover for a Nazi investment entity. We're going to turn now to the definitive book about the Bormann Organization. This is called Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart. The book is copyright 1981, and the copyright belongs to the Manning family. Now, talking about the Bormann Organization and its use of Jewish frontmen in the United States and elsewhere. It has drawn many of the brightest Jewish businessmen into a participatory role in the development of many of its corporations, and many of these Jews share their prosperity most generously with Israel. If their proposals are sound, they are even provided with a specially dispensed venture capital fund. I spoke with one Jewish businessman in Hartford, Connecticut. He had arrived there quite unknown several years before our conversation, but with Bormann money as his leverage. Today, he is more than a millionaire, a quiet leader in the community with a certain share of his profits earmarked, as always, for his venture capital benefactors. This has taken place in many other instances across America and demonstrates how Bormann's people operate in the contemporary commercial world in contrast to the fanciful nonsense with which Nazis are described in so much, quote, literature, unquote. This is not to say that the Nazi doctrine does not remain anti-Semitic. It obviously does. But the Bormann Group is much more powerful, and if you want to gain control of the world, that would certainly include the Jewish community. Now, more about Larry Silverstein, whether or not he is, in fact, a frontman for the Bormann Group. I would note that my analysis of the economics behind the World Trade Center itself is at this point incomplete, but more and more we're seeing evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the Bormann Organization, and if in fact the manipulation of the market was anticipated by the Bormann Group, and the manipulation was then concluded by them or conducted by them, that would compensate for any losses that might appear on one aspect of their slate. The New York Times of Saturday, November 3rd of 2001 had another article about Larry Silverstein and the insurance companies that are have liability in the suit. Liabilities in the case. This is called Twin Towers at the Center of Legal Brawl. It's about a Swiss reinsurance suit against Larry Silverstein. This is by Stephen Labatten and Jonathan D. Glater, and it reads in part as follows. Skipping down, on Thursday, lobbyists for Larry A. Silverstein, the developer who holds the lease on the World Trade Center and for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which owns the property, helped ensure that a bill passed by the House on airplane security included broad language protecting them from claims by victims of the September 11th attacks and their families. That came as a group of investors led by Mr. Silverstein prepared to answer a lawsuit that the Swiss reinsurance company filed against them last week in federal district court in Manhattan. Interestingly, skipping down, to plead his case in Washington, Mr. Silverstein, who has the least to lose financially and the most to gain, parenthetically as a Borman frontman, I would ask, retained Jack Quinn, the former White House counsel who last January engineered an Inauguration Day pardon issued by President Bill Clinton for Mark Rich, by the way, also based in Switzerland, also connected to the BCCI and the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate machinations, and I suspect also a Jewish Borman frontman. Rich pardon is discussed in Rags to Riches. Now, more about some of the economics looming in the background and the foreground, frankly, of the World Trade Center situation. There is a diagram in this article. Larry Silverstein, perhaps I would ask, a front man for the Borman Group and the man with the least to lose and the most to gain and who has just gotten security from the U.S. government, the people who put up his venture capital, GMAC Commercial Mortgage, that's a subsidiary of General Motors in which the Borman Group holds a lot of stock, as we looked at, and for the record, 292 and also 309. And UBS Warburg lent the money to finance the lease. UBS Warburg, we're going to talk about in the second half of this broadcast, that is a major Borman-connected bank. Now, the insurance companies that have liability, Swiss Reinsurance, the largest holder, is obligated to pay 22% of the legally approved claim. Their stock may very well have been manipulated in the run-up to 9/11. Also, Munich Reinsurance and Lloyd's of London are two other large insurers facing claims. Munich Re also faced alleged manipulation in the run-up, or experienced alleged manipulation in the run-up to 9/11. And it says here, among the other 19 insurers of the World Trade Center are Allianz, which also allegedly experienced stock manipulation in the run-up to 9/11. Now, again, any losses that any individual Borman-connected company might have experienced would be offset by the enormous profits to be garnered from the anticipation of the event and the short-selling along the lines of what occurred in the run-up to Kennedy's assassination. We're going to be analyzing these events further in the second half of the broadcast. Obviously, this has been a very intense discussion and will remain so. Other programs, for those who are feeling overwhelmed, are available from a number of sources. More recent For the Record programs are available streaming on Real Audio from sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey. You can visit their website at WFMU, WilliamFredMaryUnion.org, /Dave Emory, DaveEmory. There are older For the Record programs, including the vast bulk of the For the Record series that are available for download only at a longer URL, which has a link not only on the WFMU website, but also on the Real Audio-equipped For the Record section of the Spitfire website. Spitfire is a CD and tape duplication service that stocks all of the programs that I've done over the years. You can reach them by regular mail. Again, Spitfire, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, one word, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email, mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E-L-I-S-T.com. And there are descriptions annotated in the programs running up to 3:30, and the others will be up soon. If you want to check sources, if the broadcast is going by too quickly, see the annotated description in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. This concludes Side A of For the Record program number 335, Walkin' the Snake, Part 2. This is being recorded on 11/11/2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.